You're listening to SBS News.
World leaders are gathering in New York City ahead of the United Nations Climate Action Summit, where about 60 countries are expected to make new commitments. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres explains why the summit is needed.
That summit is aiming at making countries understand that they need to do much more than what they have been done until now, because we need to defeat climate change that is still running faster than what we are. And we see the consequences in devastating hurricanes, we see the consequences in glaciers melting, we see the consequences in public health deteriorating with heat waves and new diseases coming to several areas. And so we need more international cooperation to defeat climate change.
Mr. Guterres says he wants countries at the summit to commit to a list of demands, including increased national targets for emissions reductions, banning the building of new coal power stations, and reducing fossil fuel subsidies.
What we want to have is more and more countries coming here and committing to carbon neutrality in 2050 and committing to reductions, and our target is 45% of the emissions during the next decade, coming here to commit in relation to the financing of the Green Climate Fund and of the $100 billion we need to have every year to support developing countries in adaptation and mitigation.
The beginning of the summit comes as new data is released showing the signs and impacts of global warming are speeding up. A report compiled by the World Meteorological Organization says the five-year period from 2014 to 2019 is the warmest on record. It says the world has warmed by 1.1 degrees Celsius since pre-industrial times, and temperatures are on track to increase by between 2.9 and 3.4 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. UN Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed says efforts to reduce carbon pollution need to increase drastically.
The current plans submitted by countries get us nowhere close to limiting temperature rise to well below 2 degrees by the end of the century. In fact, those plans would more than double this number, and that would be disastrous. We cannot safely predict the future of humanity in this scenario. This is a critical moment. Between now and 2020, this will be the last chance to really change the course, to bend that curve.
The WMO's report also says sea level rise accelerated to 5 millimetres per year from 2014 to 2019, compared with around 3 millimetres per year between 1997 and 2006. Lena Srivastava is the Deputy Director General for Science at the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis. She says the findings are concerning.
We are at risk of crossing several critical tipping points in the planetary systems. And I think there's also in the science community a greater recognition of the fact that climate impacts are hitting harder and sooner than what climate assessments had estimated almost a decade ago.
Chair of the Global Carbon Project, Rob Jackson, says the global emissions of carbon dioxide for 2018 appear to have gone up about 2.1%, the largest increase in more than 5 years. He says emissions in 2019 are on track to rise even further, despite a boom in the renewable energy industry.
They're increasing for the last 5 years at 14%, so that's a doubling time of only 5 years. And that's a remarkable transition driven as much by pricing as it is by climate concerns. But at the same time, most of those renewables are not replacing fossil fuel infrastructure. We're adding new energy infrastructure to the global system. And so what we need most is to combine increased energy efficiency with renewable buildouts that take fossil fuel plants offline or that don't rebuild them once they come to the end of their useful life.
Professor Leslie Hughes is a councillor with the Climate Council of Australia. She says the WMO's findings are particularly frightening for Australia, as it's one of the developed countries most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change.
Queensland has not long regarded itself as a bushfire-prone state, and in fact, up until now, has had no formal bushfire season, unlike the southern states. But we're seeing really major out-of-control bushfires over the last couple of weeks up in Queensland. And we're seeing fires burn into vegetation types like rainforests, where fires just don't normally go. So this is really a new normal.
Professor Hughes says sea level rises are likely to impact a significant portion of Australia's infrastructure and population, as many people live on the coast.
Sea level rise has two impacts. Of course, there's the gradual inundation and reduction of land area, and that's a real problem when you're a low-lying, when you've got low-lying coasts, and it's a real problem, especially if you're a low-lying island. But what sea level rise also does is that it magnifies the impact of any storms that you have. So if you think about it, all that extra water that's out there during a storm tends to come on land.
She says it's embarrassing that Australia is among a group of coal-supporting countries not receiving a spot on the list of 63 speakers at the UN Climate Action Summit.
UN Chief Antonio Guterres said he only wanted countries to come and speak if they had a plan, not a speech. So given that Australia has not been invited to present a plan, indicates that the international community knows that Australia doesn't actually have a plan.
Professor Hughes says she's hopeful the WMO report will encourage the Australian government to commit to more serious action at the summit. Prime Minister Scott Morrison will not be attending the summit despite being in the United States on an official visit. Foreign Affairs Minister Maurice Payne will instead represent Australia. Amy Hall, SBS News.